Good evening. Welcome to River Styx at Duff's. My name is Michael Castro. I'm the director of the reading series. Can you hear me okay? All right. Tonight we have three wonderful poets. We have Harry Sky Campbell from St. Louis, Missouri, and Darlene Roy, who lives on the other side of the river. And we have our special guest tonight from the left coast of the continent, Oakland, California, Reginald Lockett. So brace yourself, there's gonna be a lot of good poetry this February evening. They're gonna read in that order. We're gonna see how things go. We'll probably take a short break after Darlene Roy and come back with Reginald. So a little bit to introduce a man who to many here needs very little introduction, Harry Sky Campbell. He has been an active force on the arts and literary scene for some time. It's not very well known that he also has a background in cinematography. At one time he worked as a screenplay writer or a script writer for McDonnell Douglas. As he put it, somebody had to pay the bear. He's also was a percussionist and multi-instrumentalist, very talented and creative individual who goes back to the 60s in his creative development. As a poet, he's one of the stars of the late great Wabash Cafe, Triangle Cafe, Slam constellation of poets. Some of you may remember him from there. He's published numerous times in anthologies, the University of Missouri anthology in the last three issues. The poem, Bring Me Harlem in a Brown Paper Bag, was included in a English textbook called It's Mine and I'll Write It That Way by Dick Frederick and David Kuster. Sky has published around in various publications. He's just come out with his first book, which is available tonight. It's called Ellipses, and it's a wonderful selection of his work, which he'll be reading from tonight. Any of you who know Sky know he's a charmer. He's got a little bit of a devil in him. He's a little unpredictable, so anything could happen tonight. So sit back, brace yourself, get ready for Harry, the man they call Sky Campbell.
Took the long way home. Good evening. Absolutely flattered to be here with you this evening. I put on my best voice. I worked on it. I had my glasses fixed, polished them. I'm going to be reading from a small chap this evening, and the title of the chap is Ellipses. It's dedicated to my mother for many of the things that she has done and told me about, and you watch those things come true sometimes and they scare you. But about ellipses, my mother and I, we had a conversation. I said, Mom, I'm going to dedicate this piece to you tonight, and I want you to be there. She can't be here this evening. She's having some problems. But with her words of wisdom, she says to me, you have to make sense to people, honey. They shouldn't have to figure out what you are saying or trying to say. Make sense, baby. But Mama, these are mixed metaphors and literary statements that paint the picture of the prose or the poem. They provide color to the short story or the essay. They establish concepts, give you, the listener or the reader, a jumping off point or a jumping in point with a wider frame of reference that you may apply to the verses or the lines of the material. The sudden technicolors your mind's eye pictures takes on at the beginning you look, my honey. That's good, but makes sense. Like in the Bible. The Bible, Mom, sometimes after all that be got, be gave, who going and gone, thou forest and them trees, boy, what, Mama? Don't be no fool. With that, I introduce ellipsis. Ellipsis Ellipsis will be a bus ride. And it'll be a bus ride this little boy takes, a little girl, based on... From my perspective, it was a little boy between the ages of 7 or maybe 12 years old in those days of good days. So as we go, keep in mind, this is a little boy, little girl. Soul will be a continuing thing. So we'll say the name of this bus is Soul Is. We're going to get on the bus called Soul Is. 7-year-old Soul. Where is George Hall? When you were 7, soul is something you have tacked on the bottom of your shoes. Soul is having a James Brown record that's brand new. Soul is feeding monkeys in the zoo against the rules. Soul is talking to the man in the moon out loud. Soul is crossing your first busy street alone. Soul is taking the long way home. Pigeons. Sometimes we'd get up in the morning, my brother and I, and we'd walk Mom up to the bus stop, and she'd catch her bus going to her work, her job. And she would always be up there. She said, I've always got friends. And so one morning we were standing there, and pigeons. Pigeons perched in corners of the city, in cracks of life, on rooftops beneath eaves, on heads of statues, but not in trees. Pigeons don't land in trees, roost in the majestic maples or rustic elm. Pigeons don't sit in trees. I'll be damned. They're too big. No siree, the crow is twice its size, and it sits in trees, builds its home there in the branches among the leaves. But pigeons don't sit in trees. A top billboard sitting on the end of a giant cigarette, on top the insurance building downtown, on street-like domes, pigeons will sit and make the best of it. Outrunning cars and parking lots, slapping, flapping away, walking in circles, mumbling to themselves. On electric wires, from pole to pole, a pigeon will perch, holding on tightrope walking telephone wires. Wind cap zooming in, looking for clearance to land. An open window on the 11th floor of the projects. Pigeons move in. Pigeons don't know how to make a nest. They just make a mess. But pigeons don't sit in trees. That's Mom's insight. You know, I really appreciate your applause, and out of courtesy or out of hurry up and get through, but I'll ask you, don't applaud. Let me get through, okay? Stay on the bus with me. Hey, Mama, for Margaret Helen. Hey, Mama, when Santa Claus comes to the projects, they're going to steal all the toys out his bag and off his sleigh. Who said that? The boys down by the elevator, they said they're going to, mess up the reindeer, too. What? Mm-hmm. Well, you tell them boys to watch their mouth, and you know you shoot yours. Tell them boys Santa is going to come so late that they will be asleep. Anyway, Santa will have police protection when he comes to the projects. Hey, Mama, Tyrone's stepfather said God is white and only white people can go to heaven. Any black people in heaven is only there because they work in white folks' house. Boy, stay away from them people down there. That's why Tyrone is always in trouble, in school half the time, let alone heaven, and that man down there ain't no better. Wringing out her mop, looking at her son, she said, black folks can go to heaven too, baby. Hey, Mama, why do people dream of a white Christmas? In a quiet kitchen waltz, floating with her mop, she said, honey, people dream about some of everything. Hey, Mama, Tyrone said there ain't no black Santa Claus because black Santa Clauses don't have nothing to give away. Mama grunted in her kitchen chores. Her mom smiled, curled, swirled, and flipped on the floor. Did you take out that trash like I told you? She almost whispered to herself. Hey, Mama, Mama, what is it now, boy? Do they have projects in heaven for black people to live in? Mama stopped mopping, smiling at him. Nowadays, baby, they got some of everything. I suppose they got some of everything in heaven, too. Hey, Mama, Mama, shut up, boy, and take out that trash. Hey, Mama. Waiting for the union bus. In every city, Chicago, New York, Brother Locke is from L.A., there's that certain bus that everyone waits for, and you wait for it all your life. You can get arrested for being for loitering. Not lottery, but loitering. In St. Louis, one of those buses is the union bus. So being inspired one day while waiting for the union bus. Have you ever had one of those days when you looked like everybody that you aren't, waiting for the bus, horns honk, hands wave at you. Oh, I thought you were somebody else, whistles at you. Hey, you, one of those full moon night days when you look just like everybody that you're not. All day, somebody else you might be isn't you. Someone who understands what you're going through, knows who you are not, but look just like them. They keep saying to you, are you sure you're not? Are you sure? As if waiting for a bus has dimmed your sense of self. You're tempted to say, okay, it's me. Give me a ride home. But looking like who you're not, home could be anywhere. Waiting for the union bus And mama done told you, you don't ride with everybody. Soul is playing the corner pinball machine with your lunch money. Soul is leaving half a chocolate bar in a suit that's being cleaned, the only suit you've got. Soul is coming home a complete mess. Soul is watching the neighborhood tomboy tear her new Sunday dress. Soul is going to school trying hard not to do your best. Soul is shooting marbles on a rainy day. Soul is trying to run away from home with no place to run to. House in shambles. You know the type. A green one with a red head. Or was it blue with a green head? Sounds like a small plane when it's in the room. Bam! The ashtray you want at the carnival. Bam! Damn! Slips. Ashes flips and falls. You glue, you can blue, you can goo, and bam! No, you can't glue it back together now. Three hoops in a row, 50 cents a shot. Cost you $7.50. That ashtray meant a lot. Bam fly, bam fly, wham fly. Your mid-air shot, wave of hand, swish and a miss with the TV guide across the room. Almost got it, almost, almost. Picture frame glass crack falling from the rack. Again, again, damn. Still picking up pieces of the ashtray beyond repair. Listen. Sounds like a small plane passing overhead. Another shot close and bam. There and bam. Again over there and wham. And again, bam. Maybe, maybe, there in the broken rubble of your favorite wine glass, you hope to find his little ass. Nothing, nothing, missed again. You know the type. You dive, jump, you almost fly, twist and turn, snatch and wave, driving you crazy in its maze. You fall between the bed and the door. Not the TV, not with a shoe. Damn fly, wham fly, bam fly. Then the fly flies out of the door. Gone. You still in hot pursuit. Damn fly must die. Broke my carnival ashtray too? House in shambles. Could I bum some water from someone on something possibly wet? While they hustle me a glass of wet, I will go through this piece. Now this piece, Mom, when I bounced it off her, she was like, sort of like, well, okay, but son, you got to be, you know. This here's a preacher's handkerchief. It's been blessed, y'all. Thank you. He told me, he said, son, I don't know what you do, but you take this handkerchief with you. I said, thank you, Reverend, and I have it with me. You can tell, okay? Don't it look like it? UFOs. This topic, my mom, she wasn't too happy about it. She said, you and Harold, y'all got to be careful out here. UFOs. With all these test tube babies and alien nation surprises, there aren't any black TTBs. No black test tube babies willing to try anything at least one time. No urban encounters of the third kind, but there are encounters. If the aliens aren't green or lizard-like, they're all white. Like that damn Duracell family on TV. Y'all should be ashamed. I mean, we buy batteries too. What? You don't look at TV. Oh, excuse me.
Then again, leave that alone. Let the Duracell family thing stay just the way it is. UFOs only land in the country at night near train tracks behind red man chewing tobacco signs, trailer courts and fishing lodges because they got big heads and red necks. White girl claims she's pregnant with an alien nation baby. White boy says he thinks he is too. UFOs don't land in the hood because brothers will steal the radio and tires off of whatever they're driving. That's a nice ride. What is it? Is that a tape player or a CD? Get it and see. Please, y'all. We're just as afraid as you are. Aliens trying to make long-distance calls from payphones by the White Castle. In Alienese, it speaks to me, and I understood it. What it was saying says to me, don't need no black folks in space. It's fucked up enough with that trailer court bunch. Rednecks done gave black folks a bad name already, even in outer space. When we were young, and my brother and I, we don't like to admit it now. When we were young, my mom, she would, we crossed the street away, hold each other's hand, hold each other's hand. You know, you guys from that school, hold each other's hand. Cross, hold each other's hand. But since, as we got older, we was holding each other's hand. Sometimes Harold was slow, or maybe I was too fast. And so he said, Mama, supposing that Harold gets hit. She said, hold each other's hand. I said, that means both of us get hit. And she said, go ahead. We figured that out. As grown men now, though, sometimes unconsciously, we'll be together. Unconsciously, sometimes we'll reach for each other's hand. When Mama used to clean your face with spit, a Thanksgiving poem. Now, all of you in the room that say that who does this, ooh, oh, quit lying. All of you who made that face, please. Quit lying in front of the Reverend's handkerchief. When Mama used to clean your face with spit. Come here, honey. Be still. There, there. That's better. That's it. Go ahead now and wait for your brother. Look both ways before you cross and hold each other's hand. Go ahead now. Be Mama's little man. Pull up your pants. Stop running when you walk. Look where you're going or go where you're looking. Pay attention and don't talk to strangers. Go straight there and come right back here. And don't smash up the whole loaf of bread again. Go ahead now and be careful. Soul is out running the neighborhood dog. Soul is stealing apples from your favorite tree. Soul is sitting on your granddad's knee. Soul is diving into a pool when you don't know how to swim. Soul is having friends named Junior Jones and Lil Willie T. Soul is teasing your mother's cat till it runs away from home. It had a place to go. Soul is having a brand new cowboy hat. Yeah. Living over the cabaret. Last night's whiskey and a woman's perfume. Her name you can't remember. Her scent still surrounds you. Smoke floats, chokes, and smokes again. In passing, she presses the weight of her breast upon you, the weight of the world, reeking with the smells, sins, and songs of the cabaret, the laughter of a woman who still looks good for her age, stops to sit with you, take the load off her feet, the sweet breath of whiskey in her smile. Dancing close in the cabaret, pleasure moans in slow music singing, making love, making time stand still. When a man loves a woman, the vendor sings in lights of tavern yellow, happy hour green, light night, late night blues, and the red, red lights of a Saturday night, listening to the heartbeat of the cabaret. Can't keep his mind on nothing else. She aches with desire. Play it again, baby. Play it again. And somebody did. In her lonely room, in her lonely bed, in her lonely sleep, her tears filled with memories race each other to her pillow the way they know well. Still talking to herself in her sleep, she laughs in her sleep, she cries in her sleep, remembering all the things that were, living over the cabaret. Mom looked at me and she said, "Now, you and her all out there, y'all got to be careful. I don't know why you wrote that poem. But you know anything can happen to you out there." I said, "Mama, mother, it's poems. It's them trees. Voices. A tribute to Maya Angelou." And when I said a tribute to Maya Angelou, before I could even get into the poem, she did one of these things like, like whatever it was is going to be all right. Voices speak up from the tides of time, speaks of the pain in your life, the fear you have lived through. A river of voices in free verse, in rhyme, in spiritual tongues, speak, sing, cry out. Voices, a tidal wave of truth, washes down from wailing walls where saints and sinners stand, knee deep in tears of prayers that runs like the river. Voices from babbling brooks of blues, old gospel chants, crying preachers in a Sunday sweat, kneeling in a sea of sin to salvage one soul. You, Angelou, are that preacher. In your humble grace, a Nubian queen. In your smile, you radiate a thousand. Before the throne of wisdom, you shed sweet tears of gratitude. With a tenacious spirit, you toil and tarry through the years. Voices speak to you in your sleep. With spiritual tongues, by name, you are called upon. Maya! Say it loud, it is war. Maya, say it soft, it is love. A sojourner of earth, keeper of the talking quilt, pinning panels of time, of life and death in its place, pulled up around you as a comforter. Talking quilts laugh and cry with you, Angel Angelou. Voices prepares your cup of visions, your spirit dipped deep into the river of tears, brewed over the fire of time, sweetened with the bitter roots of life. A river of voices, you sing like the rain. A river of holy water runs through your veins. Voices for Maya Angelou. Soul is having the measles, so you can't go to school. Soul is beating up the neighborhood fool. Soul is being the neighborhood fool. Soul is breaking the golden rule. Soul is spending a quarter on penny candy when two for a penny was for real. Three for a nickel was a steal. Soul is eating hot sauce on potato chips for your first and last time. Soul is almost choking to death on your first cigarette. Still smoking and choking to death now. This brief bus ride brings us to a stop, I guess. This is where Mom got off, maybe. Brings us to a short story. Now, for about 2 or 3 years, I had fought with this short story, trying to make it a poem. And out at the university, someone said to me, well, it could be that you are a short story writer trying to be a poet. And so she says to me, because there are so many poets out there who are trying to be short story writers. So I let it go and sat down with this piece, and I let it be reborn, entitled Fixin' Hair, Frying Fish, Talking About That Son of a Bitch. Yes, Lord. All my deacons have their baskets. Let my deacons get their baskets, please. Raw crown pomade, Dixie peach hair grease, straightening combs smoking, Marcella curling iron, stove top hot, brown paper bags torn, twisted into rollers, a mouth full of bobby pins, cutting bangs and clipping ends. Going out tonight in the kitchen pressing hair. Some would argue Dixie Peach was too heavy for pressing, or was it raw crown? Anyway, Miss Ann, you know her, the type that is. She brought her own stuff, hair rep or blue bergamot, because she had good hair. So she said, hair like her father. And had to be careful. Like her father, huh? Belle said, sitting at the kitchen table window, picking Pall Mall cigarette tobacco from her lower lip. Belle took a long drag off her cigarette, watching Miss Ann coming up the back kitchen steps. Then she said, if he was her daddy at all, y'all, where is my Marcella curling irons? B.B. said, fanning her hand through the heat in the kitchen. The ones with the red cracked handles. Sisters, y'all know what I'm talking about. No, I don't want you to now. She would pop and snap them curling irons together and wave the straightening comb like a magic wand. With a tail of smoke, and then catch it in a cooling rag, she called it, rubbing some of that fine heat out of it. B.B. would pull and cheese that straightening comb through their hair. It smoked and choked and smoked some more, pressing hair with one hand and forking fish with the other. Hot grease would spit up from the skillet, pot tops dancing with the steam. The women would sing with the radio, talking about everything from gospel to the blues, saints to sinners. Talk hotter than the fish grease, swimming with cat, buffalo, and jack salmon. The smoke, the smells, the sounds hypnotizes as they talk, grown folk talk. About them black sons of bitches. They knew so many black sons of bitches that as a child, he thought all black men when Sandra itches. Or a itchy son. Honey, that man can kiss, and Miss Eunice would slap one side of her ass so hard it would spring and sing with sound. He wondered, did it hurt? Cause whenever he got hit on his ass, it used to hurt. All the women would laugh. Not laugh, but laugh, A-F-F-L-A-F-F, laugh. And drink cold water. One or two of them from down the street or from across the alley used to drink beer and just roll their deep sepia eyes over the top of their cups, peeping at one another. Wow, he would think, wow. When I become a son of a itch, I'll have to kiss some too. Especially Miss Eunice from across the alley. She had big breasts, a big butt, and her lips would leave red, red lip prints on the cracked white teacup that didn't leak, the one with bluebirds around it and a broken handle. She would drink beer and wink at him over the top of her cup. She held her cup like a secret, whispering into it. Her tongue so pink would lick away her beer mustache, and then she would kiss the air. They used to say Miss Eunice was as yellow as the sun, so yellow that if you looked straight on at her, she could hurt your eyes. She would take her pierced earrings off and stab them down into the soft collar of her blouse, let them lay there against her yellow-brown sugar breast shining in the kitchen heat. One time she hugged his head down into her big, so soft breast, and for days he had Miss Eunice on his little mind and did not know why. It comes to me sometime in the middle of the night now. Young lady who was with me once, she said, who is Eunice? I said, Eunice who? I'm a grown man. What are you talking about? Eunice who? You know how we start copping out those. I pay rent here. But I wanted to try and say, who is Eunice? Only certain kind of women wear pierced earrings. Miss Bell whispered to little Helen, who loved Miss Eunice's earrings. They would all talk at the same time, talk. They would understand one another about different things. All at the same time, they would talk. They got a lot more said and done that way, he thought. They would talk, all at the same time. All that fire and ice, the music, cashmere bouquet, body powder, Lux soap, Carmen Jones skirts, spiked stiletto, high-heeled shoes, soft lace blouses, and Ben-Hur perfume. Going out tonight, y'all, one would say. Another would say something about going to church, and old Cleophas Robinson has been around forever. Before light, it seems. He preached in the dark. What? In the dark. In the imitating voices of a preacher, would a man rob God? Yes. In my neighborhood, he would. One of them would say, and they would laugh and laugh. He could never see how B picked up the tail of her apron to move skillets, lift tops off pots, pop curling irons together, scrape the pressing comb on the grates of fire, check the rice, cuss the fish swimming in the hot grease, frying, and change the radio station. Oh! At the same time. It's like, wow, how'd she do that? The smoke would curl up over the stove and dance in the kitchen hot air, in the magic of the music, in the midst of the conversations. Somewhere in the background, the music was always there, doing the two-step to Dinah Washington, singing Fat Daddy or Cold, Cold Heart. They would go into slow motion, listening to Dinah Washington sing Unforgettable. Go, Miss D, Aunt B.B. sighed, curling her finger at little Helen to come sit in the chair by the stove. Taking the rice off the fire, her cigarette hanging from her lip, the smoke made her hold one eye closed. She moved in silent spaces, in the music, in the conversations, parting Helen's hair down the middle, all at the same time, right before your very eyes. You know what they say about your girl, Eunice said to B. That's why she was in that fight at the glass bar when she was here. B.B. glanced across the kitchen at Eunice. That was at the Riviera Club, Miss Anne whispered into the conversation. And she's got them both. Aunt B.B. glanced down at the top of Helen's head in a jerking motion. The women kind of laughed a bit and changed the conversation. They started to drink some of whatever they had and talk about something else, like cooking, church, dresses, or them black sons of bitches. Little Helen was last because B used Glover's mange on her head, trying to make her hair grow. She was a little girl, pearl black with large, sad eyes squinting, tears running down her high cheekbone face, holding her ears down. She would jump, sweat, and wiggle. Her legs swinging, her feet didn't quite touch the kitchen floor. B.B., her aunt, chef, beautician, marriage counselor, root doctor, divorce lawyer, preacher, historian, and blues singer, would say, "Be still now, or I'll burn your little black ass again. Be still." He was glad his hair didn't have to grow. He was glad he didn't have to hold his ears down, his head still, for B.B. to cheese that hot iron on his head through his hair. The lady said B.B. was heavy-handed anyway. In the wintertime, they would go up front because they couldn't stand the smell of Glover's. They would take their cups of water, beer, and cigarettes, arguing if sulfur 8 or Glover's mange was the best thing for growing hair, or if Dinah Washington got them both, was or was not a hermaphrodite or bull dyke. He didn't know if it was Glover's mange or sulfur 8. He didn't care. It all smelled okay to him, smelled the same. Really, he didn't know who Dinah Washington was because she had never come over to the kitchen to get her hair fixed. And he thought a bulldogger was a bulldog. In the summertime, they would go out on the porch, wipe down into their cleavage and fan under their dresses. They would catch him watching and ask, "What you looking at, boy?" Embarrassed, looking into the cracks of the wood plank porch, he would always say, "Nothing." Miss Eunice would say, fanning under her dress, "He want to go home," she said. They would laugh through their smoke, and cigarettes, so white teeth framed in red lipstick. Drinking beer, Miss Eunice would wink at him over the top of her cup. They would fan the smell of stale perfume, old stories, dreams, fish frying, and pressing hair right at him, hypnotizing, mesmerizing. Their voices would sing together, talk together, all at the same time. They would talk and they would laugh, all at the same time they would talk. Them women would talk and they would laugh. Them women would laugh. Girl, they would laugh and talk about them black sons of bitches. Years later, he saw little Helen. She ain't so little anymore, he thought. She got her hair fixed, too. Got her ears pierced, too. That made him laugh. Her hair looked good, real good. She looked good, real good. They talked and laughed about things, life, love, work, and children. Then she said, honey, let me go. I've got to get home and fry this fish for that son of a bitch before he goes crazy. For some reason, he started to smell Glover's mange. He didn't know if it was her or just memories, or was it sulfur aid. It all smelled the same to him. Talking to Helen that day made him feel homesick, a heavy, light feeling, all at the same time. For a home gone, torn down a long time ago. Fixing hair, frying fish, talking about that son of a bitch. But he was just a child. Soul is spending recess in the coat room for something you didn't do. But you don't know, but you done enough before, the teacher says. Soul is having donuts and great soda for breakfast. Soul is that feeling you feel hidden inside. Soul is on your shoes right in front of your heel. Soul is. It just is. Thanks, River Styx. Thanks, Dubs. And thank you, Mama, for all those sweet memories.